Hishti 46, Pasuk says, Ten lohem kifa alam. Pasuk says, give to them. David over here is referring to his enemies. David over here is very passionate. One that we learn about David over and over again, he has incredible passion to obliterate his enemies. Okay, he has this tremendous hatred, so to speak, for his enemies, people that try to destroy his life. And that theme reappears over and over. And here in Pasuk Daled, it says it the way it is, tell them, give to them, kifalam, give them what they deserve. Ucheroya ma'alalehem, and give them according to the evil of their deeds. The word roya means evil, and ma'alalehem means their deeds. Kimasei yideihem, according to the labor of their hands, tein lohem, their actions. And then hoshev gimulam lohem, return what they deserve. Let they should get back what they deserve. So there are so many expressions. Let's count. There's kipa'olam is one. Ucharaya ma'alalehem is two. Kemasa yudehem tein lohem is three. And hoshev gimulam lohem is four. So I'm called in the new edition of his Sefer of the Dalai Malchios is going to write that these four correspond to the Dalad Malchios.
I haven't seen anything on it.
Okay, so you'll be the first.
Not every set of four
is Dalad Malchios. You need a car. Okay, but there are four different expressions, and you know the nuances here are a little over my head, obviously. But one thing is very clear, and that is David over here is a very big advocate for midah keneged midah. Okay, this is one of the basic principles of Judaism, which I mean we take it for granted. Baruch Hashem, we've been trained, and we've been raised with a Torah hashkafa. But a person that did not grow up with this hashkafa, it's a novelty. It's a novel concept that Hashem punishes a person midah keneged midah. The first one to really elaborate upon this was Yisro. Ki ato yodati ki godol Hashem mikol Elohim ki vadovor asher zodu aleihem. And this Rashi on that pasuk says, why am I coming? What has captured my heart? What is it about Judaism that has drawn me to join Klal Yisrael? Because we know that Yisro experimented with every religion in the world. He was the Kohen Midian. He was the master of all religions. He was a world-renowned expert in religion and theology. And at the end he rejected everything and says Ani Yisro Chosen Chaboy Lecha, I'm coming to you. And what is it? What triggered his desire to come to Klal Yisrael? By Yishma Yisrael. Okay, we lay in this parasha on Shavuos. We don't lay in the Yisrael. We begin with the Chodesh Hashlishi, but right before Chodesh Hashlishi, Yisrael says Ki Kiva Dovar Asher Zodu Alehem. Paro tried to destroy the Jewish people with water. He called Habein Hayiloid Hayoira Tashlichu Mida Keneged Mida. Hashem destroyed the Egyptians through water. They were thrown into water, they drowned. Mida keneged mida. It's a very powerful concept. A person's person really just is his behavior, what he does in life, it's just boomerangs. The way he behaves to other people will ultimately come back, and that's how others will behave to him.
Or even intended actions.
Okay, that... very good. Exactly. Haman,
and the Egyptians wanted to drown the Jews in the sea. So the drowners or the potential drowners were drowned and so on. Whatever goes around comes around.
Exactly. What goes around comes around. Well said. And you hear that, you have that idea over here four times in this pasuk. Four times Hashem says, and David says, ten givrem kifalam, according to their pu'ula, ucheroya ma'alalehem, and according to their evil deeds, kima'asei dehem tein lohem, then he repeats himself, kima'asei dehem, give to them, tein lohem, and then he says, hoshev gimulam lohem, and bring upon them what they deserve, gimul, their gemul either means reward or it means punishment, payback what they deserve. Let's see the mitzvah is davar pasuk dalid. This is on page 247. 247, there's one little two words, laharashoim halalu, obviously dealing with the wicked people. Rashi doesn't say anything. Let's take a look at the Radak, Tein Lohem, ki ein yodea levavim ela ata. So the Radak is just coming to emphasize, why does it say the word you, 10? Only one that really knows what's going on in their minds is you, Hashem. Ki ein yodea levavim ela ata, sha'ata yodea hanistaros, you know the secrets, lefichach, therefore, shalem lohem kema asehem, haroim, ki ata yodea, risham, you know. You know their evil. You know their evil ways. Okay. Now let's look over here at the Malbim. The Malbim here elaborates just a bit more on the Mida Keneged Mida element. What does the Malbim say? Pasuk Dalim Heyuli is Tupsukim Telgam Kipalam Ki Lo Yovinu Espulos Hashem Bikesh. I'm on page now 246. Page 246 in the very very bottom in the Malbim. The Mamish, the last three lines on the page are 246. With the Dibur HaMaskel Pasuk Dalet VeHei Bikei SheYeshalim Lachem Hashem Mida Keneged Mida. Okay, so he really says it out. David is asking Hashem to punish them Mida Keneged Mida. Kimoy Shehem Dibur Iti Echad Bepev Yechad Balev. Just like they spoke against me, Echad Bepev Yechad Balev. Ratzu LaHarois Isi BoIfen Shloy Eda Shehem Oiskin BoZeh. The Malmul here is doing this. He's connecting us to the previous pasuk, where we learned yesterday that David's enemies, they were phonies. They spoke, when they communicated with him, they appeared on the outside to be his best friend, to speak words of shalom, but deep down inside, they were planning and plotting his downfall. So that is the specific evil that we are discussing here, that they are phonies, they are fakers. So yeah. David here says to Hashem.
So that was bothering me. Punish them for their actions. What do you mean? Because only you know their. What do you mean? Only you know. You know what actions they took. You know what they said. Well, maybe not. So you don't. You know, those things. So that's what's bothering me. Those things that they've done that I don't know about. Right. Then he asked Hashem to intervene.
Okay. Exactly. So look what he says. We'll look at the Malbim one more time. BK, David is making a request. Shalom Alechem Hashem Mida Keneged Mida. Okay, that we mentioned. We started with the principle of Mida Keneged Mida, not just the punishment. In America, you know, in any country, when the person commits a crime, there's nothing. It's not possible. No one is able to go give Mida Keneged Mida. If a person steals, so what do they do? They put him in jail. So that's Mida Keneged Mida. Where's the Mida Keneged Mida? He stole money, so he's put away, he's put in prison. That's not Mida Keneged Mida. A person kills someone. They lock him up. That's not Mida Keneged Mida, because it is impossible for a human being to exercise the mishpat of Mida Keneged Mida.
Ki ha mishpat elokimi. We don't put people in jail.
We don't, what?
We don't put people in jail. I mean, Jewish, the Torah doesn't put people in jail. Well, it makes you work off your debt.
Okay, right, okay. It depends. I mean obviously Gemara does talk about
you sold it to Vidim Karbin made with soap.
Look, yeah, you have the Mekalel, the Koshesh, and the Varech Hashem. They will put in Mishmar. Why don't we say that, listen, you know, you did an Avera, you know, we'll call you. We have to consult with Hashem what to do without you. Moshe brought Mishpatam El Hashem.
That's not the punishment, that's just the holy stuff.
Oh, so why was there a need for a holding cell?
Because they didn't know how to proceed. But anyway, that was true later on.
Let me still question.
Where are they going to run it,
Mikvah? You know what?
Where are they
going to
run away?
They'll run away. This used to be, I remember years ago, they used to write about this. I don't read these papers anymore. But they used to write about this. This used to be a big hot debate. In a Jewish school, in a yeshiva environment, you give an exam, you give a test on a daf gemara, or you give an exam, an English exam on English literature, in a yeshiva. Do you need a proctor? Do you need a proctor, Mr. Marillus? You're laughing your head off, right? Do you need a proctor?
To tell you what the answer
is. Do you need a proctor? I'm telling you, I could not believe for the life of me. There's a person that he's a professor, and like to him, he took this position very, very strong that no, in the yeshiva it is expected that boys are Yirei Shamayim, and of course they're not going to cheat. Of course. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you're living in a world of make-believe.
Temptation.
Yet, what?
Temptation. Your temptation.
Everything.
You don't know the answer, the person next to you, the answer is right in front of you. Your temptation is from
The Moira, and you can talk about taking, so you know, yeah, they talk about taking English exams, so some of the boys, they're brainwashed, that this is nonsense, you don't have to know anything with the Chol. So they don't care, they'll cheat, they don't care. And what about doing the Gemara test?
Uh-huh.
The Gemara test, the boys that cheat in the English exam are the cheat the same for the Gemara exam. There's no difference. What? So you're saying something very scary. You're saying a lot of scary things. It's a person. Once a person has the midah of not being honest, you don't know where that's gonna go, how far it's gonna go, and there are many people. Personally, I believe there's ain't be trappist for anything. And boys in the yeshiva taking even a simple exam, that's right. You need to have a proctor. You need to have someone watching their every movement to guarantee they're not going to cheat. Because no matter what, that's just how it is. Look, I'll give you a marshal. Of course, all the goyim became engraved from the goyim.
Look, they had this honor code.
The whole code of the system. If you don't report a cheater, you're a cheater.
How about medical school?
Shouldn't everything? If there has to be guardians. There has to be someone watching. That's how I personally believe. And there's no such thing in this world, personally, as an honor code, unless you're never. I'll give you a mashal. Okay, I used to take a while ago a dirshu exams. Years ago, I'm trying so hard to get back into it, but it's just so hard for me. But years ago, I used to take, and when I started taking it, so you take the exam, okay? It's a hard exam, 30 questions, 30 daf gemara. It's a very hard exam. And then the people taking the exams, you know, they give them a few dollars. They don't give them very much. They give them some money. They used to give a lot more. When I first started, they used to give a nice amount of money. And then over time, they don't give so much, but they still give a few dollars. And you take the exam, and it's not easy. So you would expect anyone that's willing to take an exam on 30 daf gemara, you know, he's the real deal. He's a Yari Shemayim. You know, you're learning a daf gemara. It's all about Hashem's Torah. It's not phonies. And okay, you go to take the exam. Every exam, they have testing sites, and there's a proctor. The practice is not watching you. They assume the people that are taking the exam are they don't mamash. The guy's in charge. You know, he sets up the room, sets up the exams, and you know he has to bring it. He has to whatever you arrange it. And then when you finish the exam, you hand in the exam, and if you want, he gives you the answers. There's an answer key. He gives you a piece of paper which has the answers. And you know, many people take the exam. I remember I was very eager. Give me the answers. I spent a lot of time studying for this. I spent a lot of time, you know, preparing, and now I want to basically know what I got. I don't want to go wait 2 months to get in the mail my grade. I want to know what I got right now. I want to see the answers. So they print up the answers. Give me the answers. Okay, so this is the way it was all the years. All of a sudden, one day I come, they take the exam, finish the exam, give me the, okay, can I please have the answers? No, we no longer do that. We no longer give the answers. Now, my understanding is the reason why they stopped doing it was because they would ship, like the regents, just the rules, like, you know, they ship the regents all over the country, all over New York State, and they lock it up, and because it's shipped to so many different testing sites, and there are people, there are mishagoyim out there who get a hold of the answers before the exam, and they know what all the answers are, and that way they take the exam, and they get the money without after, without studying.
And the shreir doubled it.
So I said to myself, I don't believe it. There are such people out there that will actually abuse a daf gemara. They're learning a daf gemara. How much money are they giving? They're giving them. They're not giving a lot of money anyway. And it's kedai for them to go and steal the exam, steal the answers, in order they can don't have to study, and they can go take an exam on a daf gemara that talks about the highest ethics, morals in life. It's a couple of dollars. Well, obviously, yeah, there are such people. Obviously, that's human nature. That's the way it goes. There obviously are such people. So, there's no such thing as an apitropos. Yeah, there always is. How do we get into this discussion of being watched? I don't even remember. Let's go back to the Malbim. We'll come back. Malbim. Malbim here says, "Bikei sheyisham luchamashem midik neged midik kemoshem dibu iti echa bepem vecha belef." The chait of these people that they aggravate David HaMelech is their phones. To David, the achas bepeh the echad b'leif. And they've caused David an enormous amount of harm. Hashem's David is now being mispalel that these people should be punished mida keneged mida. Why does David want that they punish mida keneged mida? Let's see further. V'ratzu l'harois oisi b'oifin shlo eida shahim oiskin bozem. David says, these people, they want to destroy me in such a way where I do not know what they've done to me. That's the evil of these individuals. They deceive me and they fool me. But David saw through their plans, and now David is making a request of Hashem that Hashem should punish his enemies. Midah keneged midah. Cain, likewise. Yidaber Hashem imohem. Echad bapeh v'echad balev. I'm reading the Malbim, the very last line on the page 246. The very last line. This is very, very interesting what he says over here. The very last line. So also the second to last line. Kain yidaber Hashem imohem echad bapeh v'echad balev im shegam heim lo yovinu es pu'ulois Hashem. You have it? El pu'ulois Hashem. The El Maaseh Yodav, Sheyid Melohem, these people, it should appear to them, Shehashem Oisek Livnoisam, they should think that Hashem is establishing them in this world,
building them up.
Uve Emes, the truth is, Hu Yaasoik, he is destroying them, he's busy. Turn the page to page 248. Laharois Oisam, to destroy them. Veloy live noisam, not to build them. Vize oinesh mechuvan, this is mida kineged mida, kifa'olam, according to their evil, ucheroa ma'alelehem, their evil deeds, shegam heim lo yedu lihi zoher, they're not going to be on guard, mibnei Hashem, kimo, just like what they did to me, I was not on guard, I had no idea what was happening to me. I was not aware what they were trying to do to me. It's an incredible thing what he's saying over here. These people, they were phonies. They spoke to David nice, polite words. But the truth was they were planning and plotting behind the scenes to harm David. Therefore, David says, may Hashem punish them, midah keneged midah. Hashem should lead them on. Hashem should it means the way things go in life for them, the way Yidaber means they get a stock tip, buy this stock. It doesn't mean literally that Hashem.
Not.
It doesn't mean Hashem is speaking to them. It means that Kodesh Baruch Hu brings about events. They happen to be in the right place at the right time where they learn of.
Sets it up.
Hashem setting them up, and they have they happen to meet the person making the business acquaintance. And they go into business, and 20 years later, the person will say to you, the worst thing in the world that happened to me was I met this person. 20 years ago, that fateful day, I went into a restaurant for lunch, and there at the table was sitting a person, and we struck up a conversation, and before we turned around, we decided, you know what, let's go into a joint venture, some business venture, and here I am 30 years later, I'm in prison for the rest of my life. Because that person that I went into a joint venture, he swindled me, and he led me down the wrong path, and now my life is ruined, I'm finished. So when I want to go look back at my life and I want to say, what was the worst thing that happened to me? It was the day I went and I met that person. Because and it was a setup. Hashem arranged on that day that the young Israel of Midwood would not have lunch. So I had nothing to eat. So I had to go down to the restaurant. And there was that person. And we met and we had a conversation. And one thing led to another. And here I am now. My life is ruined. So why did this happen to me?
Because, on the other hand, it could have been better because of that situation.
Okay, so you don't know. Hashem reruns the world. You're right. It could be the other way around. But why? The person will sit the rest of his life in prison reflecting. And he'll say, because you know why? I did the same exact thing to somebody else. I did midah kineged midah. I once upon a time had a friend, and I wanted to swindle him. If I would go and I would try to rob him, he would right away see what I'm doing, and he would run away. So I was more sophisticated. I made believe I was his friend. I lent him money. I did this. I did that. And then it was all with a plan in order at the end just to take advantage and to bring about harm to this fellow. So now I see Hashem did to me exactly what I did to somebody else. Now, it's interesting when a person does this, when a person suffers in such a way, midah kineged midah, there's a silver lining. It's not much of a silver lining because punishment is punishment, but at least the person comes to acknowledge there's a God. That's what Yisro said. Ki ata yodati ki gadol Hashem mikolun ki vadavar asher zadu alehem. When a person witnesses midah kineged midah, there is a revelation in his mind of Hashem's presence. David here, in his incredible passion to obliterate and destroy his enemies, David still wants that the churban of his enemies should bring about a revelation of Hashem's honor. And the only way the revelation of Hashem's honor can come is when a person acknowledges the midah kineged midah. So David has a vendetta for his enemies, but at least it's wrapped up in a desire that a person should ultimately acknowledge the midah kineged midah. What?
If someone does something bad and it comes back to him, does he realize that it's an exchange? Does he realize it's an
exchange? Well, do you make
the case
for that?
Well, one thing is for sure, if it doesn't come back as midah kineged midah, he'll never acknowledge Hashem's existence. If it does come back midah kineged midah, maybe there's a chance. Maybe there's a chance that he'll be true to himself. Maybe not right away. Sometimes at the moment when it actually happens to him, when it happens to him, he is in denial. Maybe 20 years later...
Others, including the victims, see it.
Others. So there's someone. There is a degree of revelation of Hashem's hashkacha pratis when the punishment is midah kineged midah. When the punishment is just punishment, you did a crime, so you go to jail. So what does going to jail have to do with the crime? I did a crime, I did something very, very specific. What I did to someone else did not happen to me, did not happen to my family. I was caught, and I have to suffer the consequences of going to prison. But there is no midah kineged midah. So there's less of a revelation of Hashem's hashkacha pratis. When the punishment is mamish, midah kineged midah, people are in denial. We all know that. People, you can go show a person mamish, midah kineged midah, you can show a person the NS. If they don't want to see the MS, they're not going to see the MS. But at least it's there for the taking. At least if the day will come when they'll want to be honest with themselves, or as Rav Chol said, maybe other people who are objective, who it's not nogea them, they can study, they can analyze it from an objective point of view, perspective, they will see the glory of Hashem, the midah kineged midah. Yisro.
And the victims.
The victims, right. And the victims, because they're certainly objective. Yisro was not part of Egypt. Yisro was able to say, to be objective, to study history, and to see that everything that the Egyptians did to the Jewish people came upon them. Midah kineged midah. David here is generous. David is asking that the people that what they did, it should be a midah kineged midah, so at least they will come from this a glorification of Hashem's name. All right, let's go to the next pasuk.
In the lecture, I had something very, a comment. He says to Christ, tell lahem for alam korona lehem, kema asey lehem tell lahem. And then he says, Hashem hu olam lahem. The Maaseh 10 belongs to the three. Now, all the three, they look the same, but they are not. Tell lahem kefa olam. What they did, we should do. Bamayim hatu, bamayim and tapu. However, kevo amalehem, give them exactly the same measurement of the bad things that they did. It means they took the kids and they threw them to the water and they died. They also will die in the water. Now, and then it says, not only this, kema'asei yedehem, they took the kids, the small kids, and they threw with their hands to the water. Hashem, you do the same thing. Put them into the water. And this is what Hashem did in Yam Suf. Then he made a sign of Hashem mulam lahem. Then the from tshuva. What do you mean tshuva? Boto makom, boto matzav, the same situation. The tshuva in the bad thing also. It would be like a tshuva. Tshuva shehashem osze la reshaim. So he said this, do it to them, do it with your own hand, and do it as bad as they did. Each one has a different level here. It's not like a...
The devil is in the details. Yeah. The devil is in the details. There are many, many different degrees. Everyone is different. Everyone, the degree and the intensity, the intent is different. And everyone has to get exactly what they have done. Everyone is...
Exactly the same. With that and everything with that. The chzaliut and the measure of the punishment. It's amazing. And then he said,
You know
how to do it.
Sign off. Pasuk Kilo Yavinu es Hashem. Because they do not understand es Pulois Hashem v'yesmaaseyodav. The wicked people are not interested in understanding that. This is a very common thing. People who have an agenda, who no matter what you tell them, no matter how much you show them evidence, otherwise, it does not matter. They do not understand the deeds of Hashem, the Esmaseyadav, and that I think the word Kilo Yavinu goes back on the second expression as well. It's as if you repeat Kilo Yavinu, they do not understand the Maaseyadav. Yeherseim velo yivneim. And David curses them, destroy them, and do not build them. Okay, so this pasuk, the Ma'am put this pasuk together with the previous pasuk, but to a degree, it seems to be independent. Let us look quickly over here at the Mitzudas David. On Pasuk K on the next page 247. In the Mitzudas David, Kilo Yavinu, Einam Naisnim Leif.
It should have been reversed.
That,
my enemies, they do these things, but they don't understand the deeds that Hashem works, and then Hashem repay them.
What do you mean? So let's see the Mitzudas David. Let's see the Mitzudas David. Kilo Yavinu, Einam Noistim Levelo Lehavin Pulois Hashem Shemeshalim Lerosha Kirishasai. The Mitzudas David learns that wicked people do not appreciate the concept of Midah Kineged Midah. Okay, that's what he says. They don't pay attention to understand that what's happening to them is what they did to somebody else. They deny it. They're in a state of denial. Lovin pulis Hashem shemeshalem l'rasha kirishasai yeherseim ulzev therefore yeherois oisam destroy them, demolish them v'lo yivne oid oisam lachazor l'kad musam. So I don't understand the flaw. I really don't understand. He's saying over here, pasuk dalid, David makes a very definitive statement. Hashem punished the wicked people midah k'neged midah, and in this pasuk he says, you know, there are certain types of people, even if you'll punish them, midah k'neged midah, they don't get it. They don't get it because they don't want to get it. So for these people, you know what? The only solution is complete obliteration. Complete obliteration. And that's what it's saying. It's saying a completely different idea. Pasuk Dalet says, Teilachem kipa'olam uchorem aralehem kemasi yideyem teilachem chashav gmulam lohem. Okay. So that itself is, that's good. If the people get what they deserve, if it's mida keneged mida, and a person is able to appreciate that he's been punished, mida keneged mida, he can grow from that experience. He can acknowledge that there's a creator. Then Pasuk Hei says, you know, there are certain types of people that are just not interested. They're never going to connect the dots. Okay, I'm just trying to understand this basically. That there are people that just don't understand. They don't understand the way Hashem functions. That Hashem punishes the person midah keneged midah, yes, masa yadav, kama, and therefore, these people, there is no purpose in punishing them midah keneged midah, because they're not going to get it. They're not going to get the message. Therefore, for these people, there's no other choice but they have to be eliminated entirely. Same, obliterate them, velo yivneim, and do not build them. Okay, let's leave it with that. Pasuk Vav. Baruch Hashem, ki shama kol tachanunoi. David here is winding down. David here says, I thank Hashem, he has listened to the sound of my supplication. Let's read another pasuk. Hashem, uzi umo umo gini. Hashem is my strength. This sounds like the haftorah of last week's parasha. Hashem, uzi umo uzi. Uzi umo uzi. Mogini umiskabi. This mamish sounds very similar. Actually, one refreshment actually connects this pasuk to what it says, what it said in the haftarah last week in Parashas Pekukhisa, which is from Yirmiya. Hashem, you are my strength. Umogini, you are my shield. Boy, in you. Batach libi, I have confidence in you. Vine e zorti, and I am helped. Hashem, I have faith in you. And I receive assistance. I'm sorry?
I was helped.
I have received assistance. Vaya alois libi, my heart rejoices. Aliza, the word alois lashon aliza libi. Umishiri ahoidenu, and with my songs I will praise him. I will bestow upon him hope. So we'll go one more time. It's a very elaborate pasuk. Hashem, you are uzi, you are my strength. Umogini, you are my shield. Bo, in you, botach libi, in you my heart has confidence. And vine'ezorti, and indeed, I have received a check in the mail. I have received assistance. Vayaloz libi, my heart rejoices. Umishiri, and with the songs that come forth from my heart, ahoidenu, I will praise Hashem. I will give hod. Hodu la Hashem ki tov ki li olam chasto. The word ahudenu means like hoda. I will give Hashem thanksgiving. Let's look at the mitzudos David pasuk vav and zayin. Ki shama asher shalti leval lehayim horisham halalu ba'es kibul hagimul. Okay, David's saying over here that when you Hashem punish, when you punish my enemies, I want to thank you that I'm not one of them. I'm not my worst own enemy. Is that what he's trying to say over here? Asher sha'alti leval eyeim horisha'im halalu be'ez kibul hagimul. And the mitzvah stuff over here is saying something. I don't know where he's getting this in the pasuk, but he's saying a very deep idea that when the average person, when they have enemies, they want to witness the downfall of their enemy. Isn't that what it's all about? Klal Yishol, they saw the Egyptians drowned. There is a closure, there is satisfaction in witnessing your enemy suffer, your enemy being declared guilty and suffer. What? I'm sorry?
And
sentence. There's a certain satisfaction. Sometimes we're not allowed to have that satisfaction. Yeah. Lot, the Malach said to Lot, do al tabit acharecha. Do not turn around and look at what's going to happen to Sodom. You do not deserve to witness the downfall of the wicked people, because you're just as wicked. And you also should have been destroyed. And the only reason why you're being spared is in the zuchus of Avraham Avinu. So there is such a principle of satisfaction in witnessing the downfall of your enemy. And then there is an element where sometimes we don't even deserve to witness. David over here is saying, according to the Mitzudos, I want my enemies to come to an end, but I don't want to see it. I don't want to witness their downfall. And that is what he's giving praise to Hashem for. And I don't know how you see this in the pasuk, but that's what the Mitzudos David says. Ki Shoma, I read one more time. David says, I thank you, Hashem, because you listened to my request. What is my request? My request is I should not witness the downfall of my enemies. Ki Asher Sha'alti Levaleya Imhor, I should not be together. Imhor Rishoim Halalu Be'ez at the time. Kibul Hagimul, when they get what they deserve, when they are punished. We find in the Holocaust conflicting stories, different stories where at the time of liberation, many stories, many different records, when either the Americans or the British, they came to liberate the Jews in different camps, and they gave the Jews the weapons, and they said to them, do whatever you want. We're walking out of this room now, and here's a weapon. And these Rishayim, we know what they did to you, and do whatever you want to them. Kill them, torture them, do whatever you want to them. And there are different approaches people had. There were many who took the weapon and killed them, and killed these people. And then there were people who said, no, that's not for me, it's for Hashem, it's not for me. They did what they did, and ki hanishpat lelokehi. No, who's to judge? Who's to say? There's no right or wrong. Obviously, there's no right or wrong. And I don't know. This pasuk is a very I said for the third time. I don't know where he's getting this. He's getting this interpretation. I don't want to be present when Hashem will bring upon my enemies the gemur. Now we have a gemur. The gemur says, I don't remember which of the amoraim that I pray for the Shiach to come, but I do not want to witness.
I don't want to be there when it happens.
Now, what does that mean? So
right,
the simple.
It's hard to understand because, it's a tremendous, Oz Yoshir, we saw the downfall of
a revelation,
Christ.
Exactly.
It's a tremendous.
It's when Hashem does mishpat to the wicked,
right.
Then Hashem's name is glorified. But obviously, there are different dimensions, there are different elements. So, what is the parsha in Agamar? When the Agamar says that I'm yearning for the days of Mashiach, but I don't want to be present. The simple interpretation is because the pain that I'm going to suffer. The ikvisa de Mashiacha means there's going to be suffering for everyone. Everyone's going to suffer. So it's not worth it. So the Amoraim were saying it's not worth it for me to be present, to witness this glorification, because I cannot deal with my own personal suffering. If I'm going to live in a time where there's not going to be food, there's going to be food shortages, and there's going to be poverty, and there's going to be disease, I don't want to be around them. Because I can't deal with this. Even though at the end it's going to be a wow, there's going to be a glorification of Hashem's name and our enemies are going to be obliterated, I just cannot deal with the suffering that I'm going to have to endure to get to that moment in time. Is that the pshat? Or maybe the pshat is the other way around. Maybe the pshat is, no, I can deal with it. I can definitely deal with all of the suffering. But it's very uncomfortable for me to watch my enemies, to watch. It's very uncomfortable for me to watch my enemies be destroyed. I cannot watch people on death row. No matter how evil they are, I cannot go watch people taken to be shot. To be hung.
Where is he saying that?
Look at the Mitzvah Stavit, Pasuk 248, on page 248 in the Mitzvah Stavit.
We had discussion
on the bottom in the Mitzvah Stavit.
Whether we merit seeing our enemies fall. So the question is, if you don't merit it, could you get caught up in something like that?
And Mordechai, you see, in the Mitzvah Stavit? Pasuk Vav. It's not simple.
Maybe is there a difference between maybe Rishon, you know, Achenu B'nei Yisrael, and Oz Yosher was the enemy.
The Goyim versus the Jews? I don't know, maybe. So what does that mean, Lola?
Which means, when it happens, don't let it, like, splash back on us. Don't let it have repercussions. You know, don't. When the big thing happens, don't let us get caught up in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, look at the pasuk Zion.
The Gemara makes that difference. I'll tispel and follow Yevecha. That's Yevecha by Yisrael.
Okay, right. That's all part of the equation. That's all part of the question. How do you balance all of these Ma'amar Chazal together? Exactly. 100%.
I'll tispel. The Gemara says that's by Yisrael. So I'll tell you, no, so we're not. But Oz Yosher, yes. Of course, that's, you know, the
Pasuk Zayin, Vayaloiz Libi Bavurho Ezra, my heart rejoiced because of the salvation. Umishiri, Oide Eloi Bashir Min Hashirim Shamarti, I will sing to Hashem. Rashi, let's just finish. Let's read the Psukim. Pasuk Ches, another Pasuk. Hashem Oiz Lomay. There is might to Hashem, Umaoz Yeshuois Mishichoihu, and the strength of salvation. Mishichoihu. What does that mean? Look to the mitzudos pasuk ches lomoy to him lechol Yisrael bichlalom. Okay, lomo means there is might to the Jewish people. Hashem owes lomo to Hashem, might to him. What does that mean? Lechol Yisrael bichlalom. I'm not sure what that means. Next word umaoz. The Chayzek Yeshuois El Shel Meshichai, and the strength of the salvation of his anointed. I don't know. This somehow this is very hard to translate these words.
Translation?
Yeah.
The Lord is strength to them. That's the
to the Jews.
And he is the stronghold of the salvation of his anointed.
Okay, so let's review that. Let's see the Rashi. Let's see the Rashi. Umeshiri ahoydenu, umahi hahoydoya. What is this? What is my song? According to Rashi, pasik hey, is the song of pasik Zion. In pasik Zion, David says, "I am going to sing to Hashem. I'm going to say to Hashem, hoydu la Hashem ki toiv kili olam chasta." And pasik ches is telling us the song. What is the song? The song is Hashem owes Lomo. Le'oison hateluyin bo, to those people who depend Lomo, to those who depend upon Hashem, the Jew, who are they? The Hain called Beis Yisrael. Hashem provides strength to people who have faith in him, who yearn for Hashem. Be'ez. Now here comes, this is a very critical word. Rashi here adds in a word which changes the entire interpretation of the pasuk, and that is the word be'es. At the time, Shema'oz Yeshuois Mishichoihu. At the time when the strength of salvation is being delivered to his anointed one. So what he's saying over here is that the Jewish people's salvation will come at the time when Hashem brings deliverance to the Melech HaMashiach. So he's saying is that the salvation of the Jewish people is dependent upon the Mashiach, which implies that if there is no Mashiach, if we're at a point in time in history when we don't have an anointed person, then there's not going to be strength, support to the Jewish people. Our support depends upon our leaders. Is that what he's saying? Because Rashi is adding in, you know, if not for this Rashi, you would say they're completely two independent statements. As Rabbi Chol translated the pasuk from the English translation of the Judaica Press. Will you read that translation one more time? That translation of the Judaica Press?
The Lord is strength to them, and he is the stronghold of the salvations of his anointed.
So he adds the word and. So according to the Judaica press, there are two completely independent statements. Hashem is the source of strength for his people. Hashem continuously bestows upon...
The end is there.
Okay, but that's one statement. Hashem continuously bestows, gives strength. Hashem owes, Mordechai, Hashem owes li'amo yitain. Right? Hashem is always giving strength to the Jewish people. Period. And when Hashem gives strength right now, today, Erev Shavuos, Tav Shin Pei Beis, do we have in front of us the Melech HaMashiach? Not that I'm aware of. I mean, maybe he's out there somewhere, but he obviously has not made himself known, unless Meir wants to get up and reveal himself. I don't know. The butt of all jokes. Okay? We don't see in the news, you know, that we have a Melech HaMashiach. But the Jewish people feel they are living in a state of strength. Hashem owes Le'amo Yitein. Period. And then the day will come when there will be a Melech HaMashiach, and the Melech HaMashiach will be revealed, and the world will be turbulent, and there are going to be many battles and many issues that have to be settled, and Hashem will be at the right hand of the Melech HaMashiach and will be a source of strength to bring about salvation for his anointed one. When that will happen, they're completely two different statements. Along comes Rashi, and Rashi says, no, they're not two completely different statements. One is dependent on the other. Rashi says, Hashem owes Lomo. Hashem is a source of strength to him. Him is the collective noun. Or to them. Lomo, to them. Who is them? Le'oisan hateluyin boy. To those that depend, all of Hashem's dependents. Who are Hashem's dependents? Who does Hashem include on his tax return? Who does Hashem fill out on his tax return as his dependents? The Jewish people. Wouldn't you like to see Hashem's tax return? The Jewish people are his dependents.
Who
ordered it? Who ordered it? The IRS. Who else? Lo'oisan hateluyin. Well, they always say that the FAA should take over the IRS. The IRS should take over the FAA. And we would be a lot better off. If the IRS would run the FAA, there would never be a plane crash. The IRS gets you, whether you like it or not. They'll come and get. They'll find all the. If the IRS would do. If they take over the FAA, for airplanes, then they would. No one. They would do a good job. Wouldn't it be any problem? It's a joke. All right, over here, Hashem Oiz Lamoy. Le'oisan hatulyin bo, who are they? They call Beis Yisrael. And then Rashi adds in, when is Hashem going to be a source of strength for the Jewish people? Be'es, at the time, when the Melech HaMashiach reveals himself, and the Melech HaMashiach is engaged in battles, engaged in finding solutions to all of the world's problems. Be'es, shema'oz, yeshu'ois, Mishichayhu, at the time when there will be the strength of salvation to his anointed one. In other words, the time of when Mashiach will come, we're all going to need a lot of assistance. And when Mashiach will come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, we're integrated. Klal Yisrael, the Pasuk over here, according to Rashi, there's some type of integration between Klal Yisrael and the Melech HaMashiach, which is obviously true, but I mean, I don't know, there's something over here that's just unsound. I spent time going through this thing over here. A lot of these things are just very hard to get a grasp of. What are these things really, what does it mean over here? I don't really have a, look at the radar quickly. Hashem oiz lamoy, v'kevon sh'yosham hu b'beis Hashem. The radar over here on page 249 in the radar, pasiches. David says, being that he sat in the Beis Hashem. According to many of the commentators, this mizmar is really a continuation of the previous mizmar of L'dov Hashem Oiri, where we said Acha Shualti Me'es Hashem Oiz Avake Shivti Beis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. So David says, "Ovi Bekevon Shiyoshav Kum Beis Hashem Ispalal Al Yishol Sheyir Lochem Oiz Bitzeisam Lamulchama Shlo Yerach Levavam Kishlo Yehu Imohem Bamulchama V'Yitein Hashem Lochem Oiz b'milchamtam v'yigbudu aloi v'hem. Koid radak, David here is retired. David here is now entering into his retirement. He's not going to lead the battles. So what does he say? If I'm not going to be there for my people in the battlefield, let me the very least pray for them. Let me at least pray that when they go out to battle, they should be successful. So Hashem should be a source of strength for them when they go to battle. Next, Uma'oiz Yeshua's Mashiachayhu, Mashiachayhu Oimer Al Atzma. This is the Radak's interpretation, not Rashi, and not the Mitzudais. Mashiachayhu means himself. I, Mashiachayhu is just a way of David describing himself. Shehu Mashiach Hashem, Kumo Sha'amar Gamkein Al Atzma, Mashiach Elokei Yaakov. Omar, David now says, Hashem Yihye Oiz Lomo Li Yisrael. Kimoi, just like Hashem was a source of strength for me when I went to battle. Kimo shahaya ma'uzi bitseisi ma'am la mulchama. In other words, it's a little more satisfying over here. Just like when I went to battle, when I was the general and I went to the battlefield, we always won. We always won in the battlefield. So, but now I'm not going to be in the battlefield. I'm not going anymore. I'm too old. I'm not going anymore. So my people are going to go. So I'm making a request. The same degree of success that I experienced when I went to battle should continue for my people when I'm not with them. So you have to read the pasuk backwards. Uma'oiz Yeshua'is Mashiachayhu, just like there was ma'oz, there was strength of salvation. Mashiachai for me, for Hashem's anointed one. Who is Hashem's anointed one? I, David. Just like in the good old days when I went to battle, Hashem always was at my side and always brought about my success, and we won every single battle. Now we go to the beginning of the pasuk. Likewise, may it be Hashem ois lomoi. May Hashem be with them. May Hashem be with my people when I'm not going to be with them. Okay, that's at least how we learn Shana Pasuk. And then we conclude with one of the most famous psukim in the entire Tanakh. Okay, a nice way to be assigned this mizmar, Hoshia Es Anecha. May you bring salvation. May you bring salvation to your people. Uvorech Es Nachalosecha. May you bless your inheritance. Ureim Vinaseim. Two words. Ureim Leloshon of Ram. To lift up. The Nasim is also, that's the sixth parasha, Naso. I'm sorry? To shepherd? We aim to shepherd, okay? To tend to, okay? You're right, you made a mistake. Okay, it doesn't mean to lift up, it means to tend. Right, tend, we aim means to guide. We'll read them before in a moment. The Nasim means to uplift. Ad ha'olam, forever. Now this pasuk, by the way, before we even translate this pasuk, everyone, the melody, one of the most famous melodies for this pasuk, Hashia Esanecha. Who made that? Now, who's the composer? Rabbi Tversky, Rabbi Abraham Tversky, the famous Abraham Tversky. And this is incredible. It goes to show the shorish of his neshama. He made this melody. This melody has been accepted by the entire Klal Yisrael. There is not a segment in the Jewish people, no matter who you are. No matter who you are, that does not relish this melody. This melody is unreal. Unreal. Now, even Chaim Blin, Rabbi Eliezer, one of the nicest things in Chaim Blin for me is Hoshana Rabbah.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is a beautiful davening Hoshana, a very, very long, elaborate davening. And when davening is over, completely over, what do? They sing this melody for 20 minutes. They sing this melody, and the entire yeshiva, the place is jam-packed. They all line up, and they all wish a good Yom Tov to the Rosh Yeshiva. And while the entire yeshiva, you're dealing over here, over 500-600 people, are waiting to go one by one to wish a good Yom Tov to the Rosh Yeshiva, they sing this melody. Rabbi Dr. Abraham Tversky. And this is sung in Lubavitch, and it's sung by Satma, it's sung throughout the entire world. It is unreal. This is like from Shemayim. He was able to zoicha to mamish, to connect to Shemayim, to bring down this melody. And when he gave it Tzava, and I actually, you can see the video online, that when he dies, he passed away not that long ago, there should be no hespedim, and the only thing they should do is to sing this melody at when he dies. And there's a beautiful video of his children escorting his body to burial. They're carrying the mita, singing the melody, singing this melody. A whole entourage taking his body to Kavura. This is like a year ago. How long ago was that? I don't know, a year ago? This pasuk. And it's unbelievable. What do these words mean? The sign this mizmor, the mitzvah is David, pasuk tes. Hoshia samecha, the mitzvah is David, the mitzvah is David. Nachala secha, who is the nachala? The nachala is the Jewish people. Amecha is your people. Nachala secha is Yisrael, shelakachta lecha lenachala. You've taken, Hashem, you've selected the Jewish people as your inheritance. Ure'eim, Rav Michal said correctly, Re'ei oisam b'miret of a shepherd. Shepherd your people in good pasture. Ure'eim, shepherd them. V'naseim, v'sein lohem roimimus. Naseim means grant the Jewish people exaltedness. Make them great. It's a very powerful expression. And as soon as W hits the nail on the head, v'roimimam, elevate them. You've elevated us. Make the people great. Ad oilam, with no limitation. Okay, Hoshia brings salvation es amecha. Uvorech, bless es nachalosecha, the people that you've chosen as your inheritance. Ureim, shepherd them. Vinasim, elevate them. Make them great. Ad oilam, with no limitation. Rashi, ureim l'shoin mireh. As Rav Michal said, it means pasture. Let's look at the Radak. Radak says, Hoshia samecha hoshi'ein me'oyvehem, save them from their enemies. Uvorech oysam b'ma'aseh yideyem, bless the work of their hands. Ure'eim, in yonoi kiroya edro yireh, like a shepherd who pastures his flock. V'nasem, elevate them. He has a little more detail with the Radak. V'nasem al ho'amim, elevate them up above all the other nations of the world. Ad ho'ilam, tifilasi alehem, my prayer upon them, bein bimei chayai, bein acharei moisi, kol yimei oilam. So the word oilam over here means even when I die. According to the Radak, what we're saying is, I'm making a request, Dr. Fruchter Shalom Aleichem, I'm making a request over here. Ad olam is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do these blessings for the Jewish people even when I'm no longer alive. Okay, you fargin. It's a very interesting concept. Take it for granted. Some people, they say, this is a very challenging, you take this, it matches up with something which requires explanation of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he showed, he opened up the Kodesh HaKadoshim to I don't remember all the pesukim again. The grandfather of Nebuchadnezzar, and he gave him a tour when Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he was very very sick, and Yeshaya came to Chizkiyahu and gave him Musar, and said to him how dear, and said to him how, gave him Musar that you didn't get married. Everyone was hulu hulu, and then the end was, okay, I'll do teshuva, I'll get married. And the sun stopped. There was a miracle which happened with the sun, like Shemesh begivon doim, similar to what happened to the time of Yeshua. The sun stopped. In order they should get better, I don't remember all the details. The entire world was affected by this miracle, and they were very curious. And many of them sent letters, or they came to visit Chizkiyahu. And one of the people that came to visit Chizkiyahu was the grandfather of Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, Babel was a third world nation. No one even heard of it. And little did anyone know that the day would come when Nebuchadnezzar, when Babel would become to prominence, would rise and control the world, and Nebuchadnezzar would come and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And when this person, the grandfather of Nebuchadnezzar, came to visit Chizkiyahu, he gave him a tour. And the tour included, he took him into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. When the tour was over and this person went home, Yeshaya came, if I'm not mistaken, it was Yeshaya, came to Chizkiyahu and said to him, How dare you? You went too far in your desire to show off and to impress and to be diplomatic and to be a famous person. You really went too far. You don't do this. You don't take this person into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And in punishment for what you've done, that person's grandchild will come back here one day and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, okay, Titois, not Nevuchadnezzar, but his general will stab the Pareches, the whole story. And the end, and the last words are utterly shocking. He says, when is this going to happen? It'll happen in 150 years. So he says, good, as long as it doesn't happen in my lifetime. I think that's the end of Miz. You look at Mizmar, and I think it's Perik Chaf Lamites. Right before Nachamu Nachamu Ami. It's the words right before Nachamu Nachamu Ami. As long as it doesn't happen in my lifetime. I know, in other words, if you read the Pesukim at face value, I couldn't care less. I'm not going to be alive when that happens.
Who's saying that?
Tzidkiyo. Chizkiyo. I couldn't care less. As long as there'll be peace in my lifetime, I don't care what's going to be in the next generation. I don't care. It's not my problem. So it's utterly shocking. And every one of the commentators struggles for dear life to explain pshat what did you just say? What did you just say? You don't care? What do I care? I'm not going to be alive. I'm going to be dead. So it's not my problem. But you're the cause. You, because of what you've done, you put into motion a process that's going to result in a terrible tragedy for the Jewish people. You don't care because you're not alive. You're going to be in the next world, so it's not your problem. Excuse me? What does that mean? Everyone on the page over there literally struggles to give an explanation, and some of the explanations are indeed very satisfying. But the statement at face value is a very powerful statement. Compare that statement with David, the Zayda, the elder Zayda of Chizkiyah, with the interpretation of the Radak. David says, I'm not going to be alive forever. No one lives forever. I'm going to die. When I die, I want the Jewish people to have success. I want them to have success today, and I want them to have success after I'm gone. I care. Even though I'm not going to be around, I want there to be success when I'm no longer here. Hoshia Samecha, he asks for three blessings. Save the Jewish people from their enemies. Uvorech es nachalosecha, bless their labor. Ureim, pasture the Jewish people, lead them, guide them, with four blessings. Vinasein, uplift them. And then come these two mysterious words. If the Pasuk would just stop right there, Vinasein, and we would stop, we'd be very satisfied. But David does not stop. And David says, Ad Ho'olam. What are those, what do you mean? Ad Ho'olam. What do those words mean? You want to just translate it in English forever? So Radak says, it means, not only now, even when I'm dead, even when I leave this world, I want a guarantee from you, Hashem, that the blessing should continue when I'm no longer alive. That's what it's the Radak answers in interpretation. Uperush ad ha'olam. Go back a little bit before. Ad ha'olam tefilas si aleihem. My prayer for the Jewish people is bein bimei chayai, when I'm alive, and it's relevant to me. Bein acharei moisi, when I'm gone. A good parent sets up his children that they should be taken care of when the parent is no longer alive. A good parent doesn't just say, listen, when I'm alive, it's my problem. I can't witness, I've agmas nefesh to witness my children suffer. So I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to, you know, make sure they have what they need. But once I'm dead, once I'm gone, I'm not going to live forever. It's their problem. I'm not going to be around, so it's their problem. Someone else will have to find the solution. A good parent is going to do everything he possibly can that his children should be taken care of. They should be set up, that parnasa they should have. Whatever they need, when I'm not around, they should be taken care of. That's what David over here is saying, is I'm praying for the Jewish people as a father. They should be successful today. And ad ho'olam tefilasi aleihem bein bimei chayai bein acharei moisi. And that's what it means, kol yimei oilam. That's the meaning of kol yimei oilam. The Musa Haskel, if you really care about someone, you care about what's going to be with them when it's no longer relevant to you. When it's no longer, when I am out of the picture, I want there to be blessing for the community, for my family, for my children, even when it's not relevant. It's a very powerful lesson. All right. Yeah?
I'd just like to get, once I spoke with a person, he was very, very big on inheritance.
Yeah.
How often does it happen when a person writes inheritance for the children, all different things? How often does it really happen that it comes out the way he wanted it? Now the children argue, and this one, and that one, you know. So I said, how often does it really come out the way it was designed? And he told me about 50%.
How much?
50%.
5-0.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I thought you would say 0%.
No, he said, this is what he said.
50%, the way it comes out. Look, you don't know. Someone told me a story about a person who's very, very wealthy person, and at the end of his life, towards the end, you know, he's ready to retire, he's ready winding down, he's no youngster, he lost all his money. He was a phenomenally wealthy person, and just things took turned sour, and he lost all his money. And it was very painful, obviously, okay, and he told one of his very close people, he said, he realizes now, he told us not long before he died, that at the end of his life, losing his money was a blessing. Easy to say, right? Why? He says because when he basically retired and he had an enormous amount of wealth, he saw that his children, he saw they were beginning to fight. He was stepping down, he was slowing down, and the children were stepping into his shoes, and there was a lot of money, and he saw already seeds of the children beginning to fight. And no one knows anything what would be, okay? You know, this is all like, he doesn't know, you can just talk nonsense. So this is what he said. And he saw that if he would have left this, he theorizes, not that it's true, if he would have left this world and left over all the money, the whole thing, the children would be issued. They already was beginning. When his business turned sour, the children at that point in time were forced to fend for themselves, so to speak, to go out on their own. And they did. Each one went out on their own. And now they're independent. They're all independent. And there's no fighting. And he has satisfaction leaving this world knowing that his children aren't fighting. There's nothing to fight about. Because what he had, he lost, and they had no choice but to go out on their own. And Baruch Hashem, they all do their own thing. They're all independent, and they're not fighting. And before he lost, they were all together, and he saw. You don't know what will be. Listen, no one knows anything, obviously. But there was a satisfaction knowing that after you're no longer here. That's a very, it's the Jewish way. Goyim don't necessarily deal with this. There are a lot of goyim, they don't look at it like that. They don't, even earlier, once a kid is 20 years old, you get out of the house. You get out of the house, you're on your own. Your life is your problem. You know, not everyone's like that. You know, it depends. Everyone is different. But Doug over here is saying very powerful. Tefillah, see, it is my tefillah that my nation should be taken care of when I'm no longer around. At home. We'll take a very short break, and we'll talk a little chumash, a little shuas, just for a few minutes. Okay, just a little bit. We'll wind down in a few moments.